16. And this is one of Jesus' parables. Kind of strange parable in some ways, but let's read it together. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions, so he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?'" This is the word of the Lord. This parable is a little bit puzzling. It's not that hard to understand the manager's dishonesty. We see lots of dishonesty like that. It's not that hard to understand his attempt to provide for his future by doing people favors that they would feel obligated to repay. What's hard to understand, at least for me, is why would the master commend this dishonest manager for his actions? But what I think the master, who represents God, is commending is not really the dishonest actions of his manager, but the energy and enthusiasm he brings to the matter of his future. Jesus is saying, look at the lengths to which this guy is willing to go to look out for himself. And Jesus' point is that you people of the light, you disciples, should work as hard at looking out for your eternal welfare. And then Jesus gives what I think is the heart of his message in verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now, one thing that Jesus obviously has in mind here is honesty and faithfulness with regard to our use of money. And yet, verse 10 is about much more than money, too. It's about the principle of being faithful in little things. That principle of being faithful in little things applies as well to all the gifts and opportunities that God gives us. And not just the big things that he gives us, but also the little things. If, as a follower of Jesus, you get this down pat, you will have understood one of the most basic lessons of discipleship. Now, let me just ask you to just take a moment and think, and maybe you kids can help me out here, too. Can you think of any little things that you have responsibilities for that are important? They're kind of little, but they're also kind of important. Can you? Anybody think of anything? Well, how about little things that are unimportant? What's that? Well, maybe as I go on, you'll be able to think of some things, some little things that you have to do that turn out to be more important maybe than you thought they were. Taking out the trash. That's kind of a little thing, right? Sometimes it feels kind of big if it's real cold outside or something like that, but it's a little thing. But just think what would happen if nobody ever took out the trash. That would be a mess. That's important. Yeah. And, maybe you heard this story too. I heard just recently about a mailman or woman, I don't know, but a mail carrier who didn't feel like delivering the mail, and he took it out in the woods or someplace or buried it or I don't know. He dumped it off. Maybe he dumped it in the trash. He had a responsibility and he didn't fulfill it. And that's kind of a bad thing to do, isn't it? Well, one of the 19th century heroes of the faith was Hudson Taylor. He was a pioneer missionary to inland China, and he probably did more than any other single person to introduce the gospel to that country and culture. And one of the things he used to like to say, and I had a little poster on my wall, I used to have it on my wall, that said this little quote of his, a little thing is a little thing. Makes sense. A little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. I like that. That saying of Hudson Taylor follows from what Jesus said in verse 10. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now, there are all kinds of little things in our world. And people in general tend to sneer at little things. We are impressed, aren't we, by big things usually? By big things in terms of size, for one thing, but also by big things in terms of importance. Maybe they're the fastest or most powerful things. We're impressed by that. Or maybe they could even be the smallest when it comes to computers. Or something like that. But we're impressed by those important things. We prefer big and important to little and ordinary. Big and important jobs, for example, almost everybody regards as better than little and ordinary jobs. And people define the difference often by terms of the money that they bring in. But who can honestly say that the job of a bank president is more valuable than the job of a stay-at-home mom, right? I mean, one is very valued in our society by everybody. The other is valued by some people, but not by everybody. And even so, we see some of the same attitude in the church. Our history records many people, men and women, who did great things. And it's right that we should think about that. We can think about the heroes of the New Testament and the heroes of the Christian faith in subsequent years, all the way to the present day, from the Apostle Paul, what great things he did, to Mother Teresa, to Billy Graham. And we see people who've done big and great things for God, and it's right to be thankful for them and for all that they've done. But as an author put it in a recent article in Christianity Today, we need to get the small picture as well. Here's the truth of it. The movements, the revivals, the works of God with which the heroes of the faith are associated never started big. In every case, they started small with the everyday obedience of ordinary Christians. Look at the development of the Christian faith after the time of Jesus' ascension into heaven. Within a period of 300 years of Jesus' life and death, Christianity grew from being a small and insignificant sect, alone, defenseless, and persecuted, to the point where the Roman emperor himself adopted it as his own religion and the official religion of the entire Roman Empire. How did that happen? It didn't happen primarily by the work of the heroes of the faith, but it happened by the work of ordinary, committed Christians. It happened in small ways, with little people. and the faithfulness of those little people. And those are always the basis for any great work of God. I'm not saying that leadership doesn't matter. It matters a great deal. I don't say that faithfulness in big things doesn't matter. Of course, that's important. But faithfulness in small things and faithfulness of ordinary people is the basis for any great work of God. Today, for example, in the arenas of politics, business, and education, we hear a great deal about character issues. We wonder, don't we? We discuss the character and integrity of the politicians we elect to office. Now, some would have us believe that what public figures do in their private lives is nobody's business. But the issue is not quite that simple. Because how one conducts himself or herself in private life in secret has a great deal to say about how they will act in public and how well they will discharge their responsibilities. You can't turn character on and off at will. And so we can expect somebody who's a cheater in private to be a cheater, to not act any differently in public office, as indeed we often have found out to our dismay. Bill Hybels wrote a book, maybe you heard of it, Who You Are When No One Is Looking, right? The message of that book is that Jesus expects his disciples to be the kind of people, leaders and followers, who act with character and Christian integrity whether or not somebody's looking. Nor does it matter whether they're involved in big and important things or small and insignificant things. People with character have integrity in every situation. They illustrate that pattern that Jesus called attention to in Luke's gospel. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be entrusted with much. Now, I know a lot of people in our world tend to judge the correctness or incorrectness of actions by the results they have. People say, what difference does it make if I do it, if everybody else is not doing it? Or what difference does it make if I don't do it, if everybody else is doing it, right? What difference does it make? Why should I be so concerned with little things if no one else is? After all, do little things matter that much? Or just so long as you do what's right and the big things? Well, one trouble with that attitude is we don't always know what effect our actions are going to have, or what effect our little neglects are going to have. We have a limited ability, don't we, to see beyond the surface of things, to see sometimes that the smallest words or actions have big results. I heard the story of a bank employee that partly illustrates that. He was due for a good promotion, but one day at lunch, he was going through the lunch line, and the president of the bank, who happened to be standing behind the clerk in the cafeteria, saw this employee slip a couple pats of butter under his bread so they wouldn't be seen by the cashier. A couple little pats of butter. That little act of dishonesty cost him his promotion. 10 cents worth of butter cost him his promotion. The bank president reasoned that if an employee can't be trusted in little things, well, he can't be trusted in bigger things. Now, rather than a simple promotion at stake, it could have been something even bigger. It could have been a soul. Think of that. How many people in our world, seeing the dishonesty or something not quite right about how professing Christians act, have reasoned, well, they're hypocrites. I don't want anything to do with that. How many people have turned away from the Christian faith? Not very many people have the kind of power where they know their actions and their words are going to have great effects for good or evil. Most of us just aren't that important or influential. But we never know what effect even our smallest actions will have. And besides that, Even if nobody else sees, we hurt ourselves every time we are unfaithful, even in small things. In fact, neglecting faithfulness in the small things of life as well as the big things is worse than any cancer, because it's that which destroys our ability to do what God values. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 1 talks about that. It says this: as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. A little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Paul says something with similar meaning in 1 Corinthians 5, 6. He says, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Here's the point. Little things can make or break a Christian life. Someone put it this way: a holy life is made up of a multitude of small things. It's the little things that make up the hour, not the great things of the age that make up a life like that of the apostles Paul or John or any of our modern heroes of the faith. Little words, not eloquent speeches or sermons. Little deeds, not miracles or battles or one great heroic effort or martyrdom, make up the Christian life. It's the little sunbeam, not the lightning. The cups of water that meet little needs for refreshment, not the waters of great and mighty rivers, noisy and forceful, that are the true symbols of a holy life. It's the little sins, little evils, little inconsistencies, little weaknesses, little foibles, little indulgences of the self and of flesh, little acts of laziness or indecision or sloppiness or cowardice, little lies or deviations from high integrity, little bits of indifference to the feelings or wishes of other, little outbreaks of temper or crossness or selfishness or vanity. It's these little things that make a person unfit for service. On the other hand, there's nothing so good for the development of conscience and character, as well as usefulness for service, as faithfulness in little things. As with that bank president I mentioned before, sensible employers watch their employees to see how they handle little tasks, don't they, before they give them bigger responsibilities. That's just how God works in building his kingdom. He tests people in the little things before he gives them bigger things. In the 1840s, there was a young man who found employment in a pawn shop. He didn't like the work. But, as he wrote in his diary, he did it faithfully as unto the Lord until a more desirable opportunity opened up for him. And to prepare himself for a life of Christian service, he wrote on a scrap of paper this resolution. Maybe it was his New Year's resolution. I don't know if anybody here still makes New Year's resolutions, but he made this resolution: I promise God that I will rise early every morning to have not less than 5 minutes in private prayer. 5 minutes. I will conduct myself as a humble, meek, and eager follower of Jesus, and I will try to lead others to think of the needs of their souls. He also said, I promise to read no less than 4 chapters in God's Word every day. I will cultivate a spirit of self-denial and will yield myself a prisoner of love to the Redeemer of the world. Now, it's a good resolution. Maybe you wonder if he was able to keep it. Well, that young man, his name was William Booth. He later led hundreds of people to Christ. He founded the Salvation Army, and it stands today as a monument to his faithfulness, who prepared himself for service by meditation and prayer. Faithfulness in little things is never a waste of energy, because everything is built on that foundation. God knows, and experience confirms it, that you can't be faithful when the big opportunities come along if you haven't had the practice in being faithful with the little ones. You won't have the practice, you won't have the character you need. I read a story about a boat builder who had a military contract for 3,000 fiberglass assault boats with the government. But the chief inspector was angry that the builder would not give him a little a kickback. He marked 640 of those 3,000 boats that he built as defective. Well, that refusal to go along with what the inspector required caused the company a loss of over $1 million, with the result that it had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. What a huge challenge to the character of that company president. Let me ask you, do you think that he would have had the fortitude, that he would have had the character to say no to that inspector if he hadn't had lots of practice in faithfulness in the little things? I don't think so. God himself has such great attention to detail. Look at what he has done in his creation, the varied beauty of it, the intricacy, his attention to detail, his care of the whole creation, but also the little creatures of it, from the minute living ones in a drop of water to the huge galaxies that populate the universe. Jesus, too, demonstrated faithfulness in little things. You know, he didn't preach a Sermon on the Mount every day. He didn't raise people from the dead every day. He didn't always appear surrounded by angels and halos and voices from heaven like when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He spent much of his time doing simple things. The main incidents in his ministry, humanly speaking, were very humble and unpretending. He didn't concentrate on those things that impressed the multitudes. He paid attention to the process that God wanted him to go through, showing God's love to a needy world and training disciples to be in on that process. So what it comes down to is this, really. Faithfulness in little things has to do with preparing ourselves and those around us for heaven. I don't want you to think just about heaven, but I want, because it has so much importance for this life. But it also has to do with preparing us for heaven. Let me ask you this. I don't know if you thought about this, but what are you going to take with you to heaven when you die? What are you going to take with you? Anybody think of anything? I'm going to take my Cadillac. Right? No, I can't do that. Some people, you know, even get buried in the Cadillacs or something like that. There's a song, right? I don't even remember how it goes. But you can't take your material stuff. But some people have the mistaken notion that you can't take anything with you. Well, you can't take your material possessions with you. You can't take your clothes or your money, but there are things you can take with you. And the Apostle Paul talks about them in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. It says, if a person builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day of judgment, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. That's the fire of purification. If what he has built survives, so there are some things that you build that can survive, according to what the Bible says, right? If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So you can build things that will survive, even in heaven. You see, your faithfulness in little things as well as big things builds your soul. It builds your soul. It works on your character, on who you are. And the good stuff survives because it can survive the fire of purification. When you work on your character, you're working on your soul. When you display in your life the fruit of the Spirit, you're working on your soul. That's partly what discipleship is all about. That's what becoming mature Christians is all about. That's what it means to be an image bearer of the Creator. And nobody can take away from you what you've made part of your soul. Not even death. You will take it with you to heaven. And not only will you take it with you, you'll leave behind a lot of good stuff as an example to those you lived with and who watched you. There's no better way you can influence your neighbors than by a life filled with integrity and character and faithfulness. In big things, yes, but also in little things, even when nobody else sees them. Disciples are concerned about faithfulness, about obedience, without regard to what effects they think that they're having. For the results are not up to us. Jesus never worried very much in his life about results. He concentrated on the process. What does God want me to do? We'll leave the results up to God, up to the Holy Spirit. He can do whatever he wants with them. We concentrate on the process. What does God want me to do? How does he want me to act? Who does he want me to be? And let him worry about the rest. The results are not up to us. It's just our faithfulness. That's what Jesus tells us in Luke's gospel, and what Jesus says is the word of God. Amen. Well, we might have a couple minutes if anybody wants to bounce back or ask any questions or anything. Anybody have anything? Or stories of how a little thing turned out to be more important than you thought it was? Yeah. A nail is a pretty little thing, isn't it? Yeah. Good. Thanks for sharing that. How about you kids? Did you think of any little things now that you're going to pay more attention to? No? You know what? I have, and I think a lot of people will agree with me. We see in our society, if we look at Chicago especially, we see an awful lot of violence and murders, and we see a lot of people acting irresponsibly, don't we? We see a lot of people who never grew up, who never had discipline maybe when they were children. But you know what? Self-discipline or how to act is very difficult to put into your life if you never learned it as a child. And that's one of the reasons it's important for you kids to pay attention and do the best you can do when your teacher tells you to do something or your parents tell you to do something, because they're training you to be self-disciplined and to be honest and to do the job you have to do in little ways, so that when you get big, that'll become more second nature to you. It's important. I mean, we never get to the point of perfection, unfortunately, but those are things important to instill in the younger we are. Anybody else have anything? Amen. Yeah. You know, one of the areas too where I've heard this story very often, I imagine you have too. There are sometimes people in our churches that have go through very tough times, cancer in their family, or there was a family in our church in Door shortly after I got there that lost a little baby, and after some long time and extended time in the hospital and so on. What's the purpose of all this? Why do we have to go through this? But you know, you never know what effects your conduct in times of trial is going to have on somebody else. You don't know who's watching, but people are always watching when you suffer, especially, or when you're going through trials, and they see how you handle it, and they see you worshiping and praising God even in your trials, and that makes them really think. changes some people. It brings them to Christ. And there's lots of things that we never know the results. You know, we never know the results of little things that we do. We won't know them. Maybe we'll know them when we get to heaven. You know, there are some times we do find out some results, but a lot of times we don't know the results. And that doesn't matter. The results are not up to us. Anybody else? Well, let's go ahead and sing. I'll just have a prayer while you're coming down. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. Pray that we may take it to heart and just do the best we can with the opportunities and the gifts that you give us. And take what we do and use them for your honor and your glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.